And that we're here again by the grace and love and mercy of God, who's always faithful, and he brings us together from near and far to hear his word. Let's turn our attention now to the Lord, and as we seek his face, he will speak to us. Heavenly Father, we look to Jesus, the author, finisher of our faith. We look to you because you are the way, the truth, and the life. And Lord, we thank you that you first loved us and drew us through the blood of Jesus into your presence. So we thank you now for this time and ask for your mighty blessing over this meeting in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to talk today about the power of God. And we're calling this teaching, Kept by the Power of God. Kept by the Power of God. How do we know this? Because the opening of the Word of God says this in the beginning, that God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. It opens up with those few verses, the power of God in operation, the omnipotence of God. All things are kept by the power of his word. And that is why we're going to call this teaching today, Kept by the Power of God. You know, we are often not aware that we have power around us, power that is functioning. Power works within your body. The power of God keeps your heart pumping, functioning, pumping life around our bodies. The engine in your car gives you power in which to go from A to B. You turn your light on for light. There is power through electrics. We are everywhere around us encompassed by power. Atomic energy produces power. The sun, the moon, it produces power. The sea, the currents in the sea, the depths of the sea is producing power. When we look at a mighty waterfall, the power of that water cascading. When we look at animal life, the power of a horse, its strength that's able to pull a cart. The power of an elephant, a whale in the depths of the sea. Its power that keeps everything moving. The idea of life, the conception of life. Life is conceived by power. Magnetic power. Everything around us is generating power all the time that keeps life functioning, moving, and so on. And so the power of God was right there when God spoke the word. And life came into being, the power of God was released. He is power. He doesn't try to be power. He is. He is all power. And it's interesting looking at this, what Isaiah has to say. If we turn now to Isaiah 44 and verse 24. There's something here that is interesting. And he says this, thus says the Lord your Redeemer, and he who formed you from the womb. I am the Lord who makes all things, who stretches out the heavens all alone, who spreads abroad the earth by myself. And then it goes on, I love this next bit, who frustrates the signs of the babblers and drives diviners mad, who turn wise men backwards and make their knowledge foolishness. And everything is worked by the power of God. And I think God wants us to know this today as we are opening this subject up, to show that your life is kept by the power of God. And nothing can touch us by God's power. And where is there power, almighty power? In the blood of Jesus. For we're told, aren't we, that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Your confession of the blood of Christ over you, your situations against the powers of darkness, is releasing the power of God, that very power that spoke the world life into being. It's not separated in that sense. There is the power of God in creation. There's the power of God in redemption and salvation. That power saved you. Power is working everywhere. The moment we speak, in prayer, intercession, when you open the word of God up, the power of God is speaking to you, communicating to you. Everything is kept by this power. There are more scriptures on this. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 6 and 7, he says, for it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Look what this power does. God commanded the power of his light to shine in darkness, that you might be able to see, that you might be able to receive knowledge of the glory of God. And he says he does this in earthen vessels, the power of God communicating with us so that we can see. If it's not the power of God, it's never going to happen. He gives us power in which to believe. Why is it, saints, that we doubt? What does it say in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19? Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 19. And he says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? So God never goes contrary to his mighty power. That is his power in operation. The power of God has moved in your life and my life, enabling you and I to believe. So why do we doubt? Why do we entertain doubts from the enemy? when God has given us the ability to believe. And when you can acknowledge that and humble yourself under that, that my believing is by the power of God. I can't see otherwise. I don't know. When we begin to really understand this, it dispels all that doubt and fear and unbelief and the lies of the enemy. No wonder the enemy doesn't want us to believe. The power of God cast out Satan and a third of the angels who rebelled. That was the power of God doing that. And the very same power works on our behalf. Satan fears that power because he knows his destiny and where he's going. What does it say in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20? Ephesians 3 and verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according what? To the power that works in us. This power is so great, so awesome, that it's beyond even our thinking, even our asking. But it says, him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. So even what you are aware of, your understanding of the word of God and the promises of God and how God is working in your life, your circumstances, he says it moves even beyond your comprehension, your thinking. This is why I always say, brothers and sisters, whatever the trials you're going through, whatever the circumstances, whatever, the picture is always infinitely bigger. The plan of God. This is why he says, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added. His power is infinitely greater and bigger than your kingdom. This is why we have to look to the kingdom of God. When we look to the kingdom of God, we are looking to the power of God. That what is impossible with man is possible with God. That's why. And I believe the early church, the saints in the upper room at Pentecost, and the power of the gospel that moved that first 100 years in power, turned the world upside down because they believed and experienced the power of God through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is to empower us, to enable us to understand, to learn and experience it. He's not going to give any more. The power is in the baptism and the evidence of speaking in tongues. You say to yourself, well, why is it I'm not experiencing it? Why doesn't it seem that my life changes? Because we're like pipes and they get furred up and they have to be descaled. We've all done descaling in our kitchens, cleaning up. Hard water or whatever it is exactly the same. And that's why it's the deeper life. That is why the word of God is delivering you and I. It's removing those obstacles to our faith that furs up this spiritual pipe, because it's all there. God's provided it all in Jesus Christ. So, it's as we allow the Spirit to deliver us, and much of our deliverance is in our mind and our thinking. That's where the warfare is going on. There's nothing wrong with what you've received. It's perfect. It's the deliverance that still has to go on. Changing our minds into the mind of Christ. Closing those doors to doubt and fear and unbelief that we still entertain. How do we know? Because we hear it in our conversation. And when we're with family and people and friends who are not believers, we join in with their agreeing and their conversation, which is of the world. And we hear ourselves agreeing with it. And then we have to come away and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I was agreeing, I was sharing with their unbelief and hardness of heart. Why did that happen? Why is it happening? Because we're still yet not convinced by God's word and promises. This is why he says, wherefore come out from among them and be separate. You cannot agree always with your family until they come to Christ. For they speak of the world. They are of the world. You are not. You have been brought with a price. The power of God has brought you. Your problem is your will. Not my will, but thy will be done. As is in the Lord's Prayer. There are times we have to be honest with God. Lord, I love this world. There's still love in it, my heart. I still enjoy it. I still get a buzz out of it, a thrill. But please remove it. And God will do that. And he removes those affections for the reason that our confession lines up with God's word. He's closing the doors into the mind that are still open, and the enemy has access and blinds us from the ways of God, the word of God, the power of God. He doesn't want us to experience this power. But you see, as we go on, and like these pipes that God is cleaning away, then the Holy Spirit has free access. And the power of the Spirit, that dunamis power, the same power that raised Christ from the dead, is the same power at our disposal, changing and conforming us into the image of his Son. You see? We must never, ever hinder the Holy Spirit in our lives, but to be absolutely brutally honest with our weaknesses that we still battle with. Else we have no hope. And that's why his power will also revive. It revives. It's like sometimes, you know, bread. There's nothing like fresh bread, nothing like it. But sometimes, you know, if you've got a few bread rolls and they're a couple of days old, just stick them in the oven or the air fryer for a minute or two. And what happens? It revives. That freshness seems to come again, and the smell. And it's exactly the same. God has a way of reviving us. Quickening us. It's a reminder of what we have in Jesus Christ. The revivals in our life and circumstances is a reminder of the power of the Holy Spirit we've received. I'm reminded, I think, in Acts 4, of where in persecution they asked for a further infilling, for the power to witness and to stand and not compromise. What was going on there? Well, God wasn't putting any more into them. He was reviving them. Reminding them what they received in the upper room. And this is why God is the miraculous working God. He's able to call those things that are not. As it says in Hebrews 11, verse 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is not seen visibly yet with the eye, but it is seen in the word of God and the promises of God's word. That is real, the substance. When you read them, that is real. That is God's promise. It's just not manifested yet. And very often, as we know, God delays the manifestation because he's watching to see if you are believing, confessing, trusting. And even that takes the power of God to be able to do it. I know in our flesh we don't like God's ways. Our flesh hates it. There's nothing new about that. And that's why even God has to bring our flesh and crucify it as we take up our cross daily and follow him. There is nothing like the cross to deal with the flesh that tries to fight against God. It has to take the cross to nail your hands and your feet to it. And then the power of God starts to take over. That's its purpose. What does Romans 4 verse 17 tell us? Romans chapter 4 and verse 17. For it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him who he believed, God, who gave life to the dead, and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. He's talking, of course, about the deadness of Sarah's womb and Abraham too old to be a father. He created a miracle there. As he says, he calls those things which do not exist as though they did. They shouldn't exist in the natural, but they do. Things for us in this life shouldn't exist, but it does. This is why we don't see God, but we know him. We experience him. We hear him. We read his word. And by the power of the Spirit, he's creating those things that naturally cannot exist or happen. It goes against all logic, all against the grain. This is why people say to you, I don't see any evidence of what you say. It wouldn't stand in a court, even though they swear on the Bible. They don't believe it. But our very lives that change, the fruit of the Spirit that is being developed in us, our enduring, our remaining faithful, our keeping coming and listening to the word of God begins to reveal that evidence that there is something. It couldn't happen otherwise. God chooses to reveal his power in earthen vessels, that it may be to the glory of God and not man. You see, God's power, he protects it. He makes sure that his power gives him all the glory. For man likes to boast in his power, his inventions, his ideas. You see? He's got that within him. Where does that idea come? Where man believes he's his own God. It comes because he's created in the image of God, but it's perverted, it's gone wrong. And we renounce all of that. We bow the knee to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who is all powerful. We acknowledge that. I'm in no way equal as a God with a small g to Almighty God. And there's the difference. Some acknowledge that and some don't. Again, it has to be revealed. The Holy Spirit has to reveal the power of God on our behalf. And that's why it's often linked to wind, water, and fire. Like the wind of Pentecost fell like fire, or like water to the flood. The power of God covered the whole of the earth. And Noah warned the people for 120 years. What power was working there to cover the whole of the face of the earth? Incredible. The baptism of the Holy Spirit like fire. That is the power of God cleaning us up, burning all the dross. The power of God is going to be seen again in judgment on the earth. It will be the end of this world, this dispensation as we know it. When Christ comes and his feet touch the Mount of Olives, the earth will be unrecognizable to how we know it. And he will usher in his kingdom and rule and reign. What is that? The power of God being revealed. Only God is all powerful. And that is why he was able to create and speak the word. But it's interesting that through Jesus Christ, the pre-incarnate Christ, he's limited that power that's given. Christ humbled himself, taking on the form of humanity, flesh. He humbled himself to God's power. He took on human limitations. What for? To bring back humanity in him, to bring them back to God Almighty. And when everything is accomplished and finished, it says he will hand it back to him. And God will be all and in all in eternity. Even the universe, the sun and the moon, and the stars and the galaxies have power, but their power is limited to the power of Almighty God. That's why with God, it's impossible to go over that power. Anything that God creates, like a fork that falls to the floor, God is able to pick it up. He cannot create anything greater. He is power. And even Satan and demons, they have power. But that power is limited. And God wants you to know that that power is limited by your faith in the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus. And that is why he says we are to cast out demons. We're to lay hands on the sick. We are to preach and declare the gospel, because it's the power of God to save and heal and deliver. This is why a lot of Christendom doesn't do this and fulfill this, because they haven't yet understood the power of God. The power that is at our disposal when we pronounce the name of Jesus. I go back to that experience I had when these two guys were trying to break into my house, and they saw me and jumped quickly out of the window, and one of them had a bar or something in his hand ready to strike me. The blood of Jesus, and there I saw the power of God just hold his hand. He couldn't move. Because I believe in the power of God. How do I know? Because I read it in the Word of God. And that's why we should be in God's Word. Because as we meditate and read the Word of God, it's being ministered to us. That's the power of God I'm reading there. Satan wants to keep us slaves, bound up in fear and unbelief. But it's time to rise up, saints. Not in your strength, but in the power and might of God. I mean, we don't completely understand about all his power. We never will. We're even going to have eternity in which to learn about God and the power of God and the majesty of God. But we know enough through Jesus Christ. One of the ways we are preserved from the power of God that can destroy is through humility. And this is why God constantly challenges humbling ourselves, keeping those knees bowed in the presence of God. This is what preserves and keeps you from the power of God that can save you or damn you. You see? We know very well what Peter has to say about this in 1 Peter chapter 5. 6 to 11. 1 Peter 5, 6 to 11. And he says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you in due time. Notice it says the mighty hand of God. We are immediately introduced to the power of God. We're dealing with God's power, and he says you have to humble yourself under his mighty hand that's working in you, enabling you to be able to do this. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. So we cast all care, anxiety, problems on him. And he says, be sober and vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He roars. He makes a lot of noise. For what? To try and create fear, confusion. It says, resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by our brothers in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. There we are. That's the power of God. That's God saying, you want my power, you want to be protected. The first thing you do, you keep your knee bowed in absolute humility. You see, a bowed knee that is humble before God is also one who is teachable, who is listening, who hears, ready to change. You see, that is what preserves you and I. Those who no longer fellowship with us, those who have gone back, they've gone back because of their own pride. I am my own God. And there's the difference. But that power that they're believing in from the devil, which is a lie, destroys. We can only be preserved and kept by the power of Almighty God that works on our behalf. And this is why I've been speaking today. We've called this teaching, Kept by the Power of God. And finally, if we really want to know about God's power, then it was revealed in Jesus Christ when God raised him from the dead and resurrected him. That was the power of God demonstrating to the world, to the devil, and to the powers of darkness. That was God's wisdom being revealed, revealing his power. You see, we have to learn God's wisdom and knowledge. It is not, you will not get it from the world. The world is opposed to the wisdom and knowledge of God. And you are foolish to try and get it from the world. You never will. You can only get it through the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you want to know the mind and wisdom of God, you see it in Jesus Christ, crucified and risen. And that is why the apostle said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. That is where he saw the power of God. And that is what kept him going through great opposition and persecution. Keep your eyes on the cross. The cross of Christ and the cross that you take up, that is the power that preserves and keeps you going that extra mile. And I know some of you, through your trials, you know exactly what I'm talking about here. And you put your head down at night and you know that the power of God has preserved me this day. Has enabled me to be able to go that extra mile when there is nothing, no power in me. Great is your faith, if that is your experience, because your reward is going to be great. God is doing a mighty, mighty deep work in you. Some saints that really suffer and go through it, I look and I think, Father, what are you going to do and are doing through that saint when you have finished with them? Because I see the power and love of God preserving them in an impossible situation that the world would run away from. Why? Because they do not understand the wisdom and knowledge of God. Our eyes have to be open to it. And this is why he says, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Don't try and get it from the world. You won't get it. You get it from the word of God. You get it through prayer, through the power of the Holy Spirit. All of this ministered to you by grace. That is how we walk, brothers and sisters, in this life. Because Great is our reward in eternity in heaven. And don't let the enemy or anyone steal your crown. Don't let anyone hinder that you are destined for the throne of God. You are a wise virgin God is raising up, and to be mightily used in God's kingdom. So we have a great future, a great vision. And that's why God teaches and gives us the deeper life week after week. Do not let the enemy steal any longer, because that is what he does. He's the thief, a robber, a murderer, a liar. Do not entertain him, but keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your knees constantly bowed, always ready to learn, to change, to be healed, to be delivered. That is the love, grace, and mercy of God. We are kept by the power of God.